We have two new sisters in Christ, Morgan and Ashlyn, and how God has worked in their lives, and now Christ commands your destiny. You belong to Him. And that's kind of some of the things that we're going to be talking about this morning, but I'm so excited. You know, we've had some challenging news this week. We received word last Thursday that Debbie's first cousin, who's just 3 days older than she is, passed away, and we found out it was due to a blood clot, not a heart attack, and we're going to be going this afternoon, his visitation. But he was a song leader, strong member at the Travis Peak Church. And then the word about Heather, and so there's been a lot of things. Me recovering, still recovering from my battle with sepsis, but I'm standing here preaching the Word of God today, and man, it's a great joy to just stand before you today and to be able to proclaim, hopefully, some things that will be a blessing to your life and will challenge you in your daily walk with Christ. But then to hear the news of new births in Christ, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. There was a minister who was about 10 minutes into his sermon when he noticed his young son in the balcony with a pea shooter. He was leaning over the balcony, aiming and popping people in the head. As the minister prepared to deliver a very public scolding of his boy, the 7-year-old hollered out, "You keep preaching, Dad, and I'll keep him awake. Hopefully, I'll be able to keep you awake today. We don't have a balcony, and it would be my grandson doing that instead of my son, but anyway, hopefully I'll be able to keep you awake today." We're going to be taking a look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. But before we do that, we've got to consider the verses Rob preached on, or did you preach on Colossians? Yes. I also want to say today's Zach's last Sunday, and we have been so blessed, our young people have been so blessed to have him here, and I've been blessed by his presence here during the week and things like that. So be sure and give Zach a hug. Bless him as he departs us, because he has been a blessing to us. And so we thank you, Zach, for your service to the Lord and Savior to our young people. But as we consider the verses that we're going to look at today, we need to kind of go back and take a look at these other verses for a few moments. In verses 1 through 4, we're admonished to seek heavenly ways, because we've been raised with Christ. So where are you setting your mind? Really important as we go through our days, as we face life, what do you set your mind on? Is it all about the task? Or do you start your day with Christ? What is your mind on when you arise in the morning? Where do you set your mind? I think that's really important. And in the second, in verses 5 through 17, they kind of elaborate the meaning of this exhortation. It tells us what to do to set our minds on Christ. So we're going to go back and look at some of the first passages. In Colossians 3, we're going to start in verse 1. And I just want to read through these. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds above, not on earthly things, for you died." You died. "And your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Do you remember that? That is so critical in our thinking. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, But Christ is all and is in all. Identity in Christ. In Colossians 3, there's this pair of passages. One is negatively focused in verses 5 through 11. One is positively oriented, verses 12 through 17, which we're going to be looking at this morning. Colossians 3, 5 through 11 contains two lists of five negative items Christians are to shun. Then in 12 through 17, there are a series of admonitions, including another list of five items. And these are the positive items that Christians are to embrace. Our text for this morning contains the more positively expressed set of verses. And it's interesting to me that as you look at some of the other letters, especially like in Galatians 5, 19 through 23, he lists the sins of the flesh. There's the negative, and boom, over here, then there's the fruits of the Spirit. I love it that he starts with the negative, and then he leaves us with the positive. He leaves us with how we are to live. Our main focus this morning is to determine how verses 12 through 17 relate to us. And here's one of the things that really hit me as I was studying these passages. When I was a youth minister, self-esteem was a huge thing talked about among youth ministry. Some of you probably remember that. Self-esteem, 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 self-esteem. And so I took that approach in youth ministry. The elders encouraged me. It was what all the psychologists were talking about at that time. So self-esteem, build up the kids, positive messages, positive things. And that's good. That's a good thing. But what I began to find out is I approached that, the kids began to become self-focused. They began to turn more inward, concerned about their own situation than the situation of others. They began to find their esteem in themselves. And that began to trouble me. And I began to go, this is not going the way that it should. I want kids to have good self-esteem. I want them to be praised and to be lifted up and to be honored. But when that happens and the focus became so much about them, they began to turn inward. And I got to thinking, this is not the right way. They need to find their identity in Christ, not in self. To me, what I've discovered over the years is self is the most destructive thing Satan uses against us. We turn inward. We become focused on ourselves. We don't see other people. And so I began to change my whole philosophy, and it was at that time I said, man, these kids need to serve Christ. So we began to do things. We'd go visit the elderly. We'd go to nursing homes. We would go do service projects. And I'm so thankful Alan has Sheep Week and things like that, where he gets the kids out where they serve others. Because I wanted them to begin to find their identity in Jesus Christ, not in themselves. Just the other day, I was listening to the radio, and on talk radio, they're talking about self-esteem, self-esteem, self-esteem. And I'm going, it's in Christ. Christ is all in all. In Him is life. And then I began to think about these passages in Matthew 10, 39. And these aren't going to be on the board, on the screen. Matthew 10, 39. Jesus, His own words. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for My sake will find it. You find life in Jesus. Luke 9:25. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? John 12:25. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In Romans 6:6. We know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Parents, grandparents, are you talking to your kids and grandkids about life in Jesus? Are you living life in Jesus? Do you have self-esteem or do you have Christ-esteem? Is your identity found in Him? Let's look at Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, love these three words, as God's chosen people. You want a positive message? Right there. Help your kids to understand that God has chosen them out of the world to receive the message of the gospel. Chosen, holy, and dearly loved. Reminds me of what 1 Peter says. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You do not belong to yourself. There's self again. Why are you God's own possession? So that you can proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You want purpose? Purpose. Right there. That's what our purpose is. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have. You've received mercy. And so, Paul goes on, he says, therefore, clothe yourselves. And I remember when I was a youth minister, the big thing back then was Calvin Klein. What kind of name did you have on your jeans? Or what kind of name did you have on your shirt? And people grouped according to what they had. And then you had the symbols of clothing, cowboy boots. And so you were a cowboy. And there are all these different groups, and they identified by what they wore. How do people identify us? It's by who we wear, not by what we wear. We are to clothe ourselves with compassion and with kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Are those the clothes we're wearing this morning? Is that what you've put on this morning as you prepared to come and glorify our mighty God? Then it says in verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance, or should I say grudge, against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Probably one of the most challenging passages in all of Scripture. I have to forgive as the Lord has forgiven me. So when God forgave me of all my sins and washed them away and continues to do that on a daily basis to take my sin away, when I look at someone, I cannot judge them based on what they've done because I know how much God has forgiven me. So what I must do is I must bear with them. Forgive them. And verse 14, he says, over all these virtues, put on love. Another piece of clothing, the one that covers them all. It binds them together in perfect unity. And I came across a couple of stories about forgiveness that I wanted to share with you, and these just really touch my heart. And these are true stories, by the way. In Iran, it is a standard practice for families of murder victims to oversee the execution or the murder of their family, their family member. They are also given the choice to pardon the offender. Such was the fate of a young man who had already served 7 years for killing 17-year-old Abdallah Alinejad in a street fight, according to the Associated Press. In May 2014, Samira Alinejad watched as a noose was slipped around the neck of Bilal Ghassari, her son's killer. Parents standing watching this. This was her chance to have the vengeance she'd waited 7 years to have. Instead, she and her husband stepped forward at the last minute and removed the noose from his neck. killed his son in a street, killed their son in a street fight, and they removed the noose from around their son's killer's neck. Ghassari's death sentence was commuted, and he is finishing serving a 12-year prison sentence instead. Forgiveness. It was a cold night in February 2007 when the car holding Chris Williams and his family was hit by a 17-year-old drunk driver. Immediately, Chris checked on his children in the back seat and quickly realized his 11-year-old son and 9-year-old daughter had died. Then, as he watched, his pregnant wife, sitting next to him, exhaled for the last time. Meanwhile, Williams was in so much pain he could barely move his arm to turn off his car's engine. However, before he had ever been rescued from his car, Williams told the Desert News he had this thought: "Whoever has done this to us, I forgive them. I don't care what the circumstances were. I forgive them." He proved as good as his word, going on to publicly forgive his family's killer and developing a relationship with him and his family. Today, Williams is a motivational speaker sharing his incredible story of healing and forgiveness and inspiring others to extend mercy and forgiveness as well. And there's even a motion picture that was made about his story, and it's called Just Let Go. Just let go. Why do we carry that around? Grudges and grievances and anger is not something God intends for us to carry. He says, let it go. It's for the cross. It's what the cross was for. To forgive. These are just two stories of hundreds that I saw. Stories of forgiveness in extreme situations. So how do we just let go? In Christ. It's only in Christ that we can have the ability to forgive as He forgave us. It's when we take on His nature, when we take on His likeness, that we see other people differently. And it's through His cross that even we have found forgiveness. By His strength, as Paul would say, all things are possible. I want to finish off Colossians chapter 3. In verse 15 it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What's ruling your heart this morning? What has control over you? What dictates to you how you live and how you feel? Is it Christ or is it something else? Is there anger? Is there frustration? Is there rage? Things that God does not want you to hold on to that's controlling, let it go. Lay it at the foot of the cross. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Do you live in peace? Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. That means you've got to take time with Him. Whether it's daily, whether it's three times a week, whether it's weekly, whether it's spend time with your Lord. Spend time in His Word, seeing what He wants to say to you about your day. Let it dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And I love it. He is our song. Singing to God with gratitude in your heart. Are you grateful this morning? Are you grateful for the God that loves you and who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light? And I love what he says in verse 17. Whatever you do, covers it all, people. Covers it all, church. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And that's kind of where I want to leave you. What is, when you go out daily, are you doing what you do because Jesus is Lord? Are you doing what you do because you have to? Are you doing what you do? Are you looking at your situation and saying, okay, God, how can you use me here? Instead of saying, what benefit am I getting from this? Oftentimes that's our mindset. Sometimes we are placed in places of darkness, and there's darkness all around us. And what God's saying, you are light in that darkness, as hard as it may be, you are still light there. Are you being light in that darkness? Let me tell you what, if this building was completely dark and we lit one match, you would be able to see that light, even with all that darkness. And that's what God's calling us to be. If our esteem is found in Christ, we are light. We can't help but be light because He is in us. He is all in all. And he says, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Notice that there's two times in that short span of verses. He says, and be thankful. And he says, give thanks. Is that the way you live daily life? Do you find your esteem in yourself, or do you find it in Christ? Let me tell you what, the identity, when we find identity in Jesus Christ, our vision changes. We see this world so differently. We see lost and broken people, and we see opportunity. We see, as Jesus saw when he walked down the road, and there was need, and he met that need. We are no longer blind. When I become self-focused, I don't see the needs of others. I only see what I want and what I need. But when I see, really, through the eyes of Christ, I see people that need help, that need a hand, that need a cold drink of water, that need someone to give them a hug and to remind them that they are loved. That's the challenge before us. Do you find your identity in self, or are you finding your identity in Jesus? Colossians 3 tells us how to live in Christ as our all in all. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, we are so thankful that we have hope in Jesus Christ. Father, that you have called us out of darkness into light so that we can be light set on a hill. So that we can be light in darkness. Father, you are the one that gives us the strength and ability to do that. We cannot do this on our own. We need you, Father. And if there's someone that's struggling today with identity, Father, I pray that they will read these words that you have given us to tell us that Christ is life, and in him is life. Father, please bless us as we depart this place today that we might be light in that great darkness out there. We ask you to use us for your purpose and your glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. There may be someone this morning that's struggling with identity and you're trying to find your way back to Jesus. And maybe you just need some prayers and some encouragement. You have a church family here that will do that for you. We also have elders that come up to the front. And we have elders that go to the back. Sometimes those things are private. Sometimes those things are difficult to talk about. And God, we've thought, man, what's the best way for us to give people an opportunity to share what they need to share? Sometimes it's easier to do it publicly. Sometimes it needs to be done private. We have elders that are in the back. Go find them. They'll be looking. But there may be someone who wants to do what Morgan and Ashlyn did this past week. They want to be born into Jesus to have life and have it abundantly in Him. And if that's the case, we would love to witness that, to see you buried with Christ in baptism. Whatever your need is, God will meet that need And we are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and we want to lift you up before Him. If there is anyone that has a need, please come as we stand and sing.